Today we are going to be speaking of kingdom authority, the authority that God has granted to the church, the authority that God rightly has. Authority is not something that is popularly preached about. In fact, most of the time we see question before authority. You know, we don't trust those who are in charge, and we come by this honestly, don't we? We recognize the flaws of humanity, and we understand that man's word is not often true. And oftentimes, those who have authority abuse that authority and power. The reality, though, is that God has and does hold the appropriate authority that God has conferred upon the church to go into the world, to share the gospel, to baptize the nations, and to teach what God has commanded. We, however, have a difficult time grabbing hold of that authority in a godly, loving, and grace-filled manner. Because of that, people question authority. Because many of the times when we're given authority, we don't handle it well. Think about it this way. We are trained from the time we're children in this society to question authority. When we get to our adolescence, we do so and with gusto and zest. And by the time we find ourselves in authority, we doubt the very nature of the word that we hold. Now, let me just make it clear. There's a lot of different types of authority, and I could go deep into sociological understandings. In fact, I've got notes that say, you know, to talk about Max Weber's, you know, types of authority and issues of positional authority. We're going to scrap that. We're going to this. Authority is simply the permission to act without permission. Think about that for a moment. Authority is the ability to do what needs to be done without asking anyone whether you have the right to do it, because it's yours. Let it sink in. If you've been given authority, you've been given permission. The umpire can call the ball a strike or a ball. Why? The umpire has authority. The person who has been given authority can do what they're asked to do. One of the difficulties that we face, and one of the ways you destroy the church and the work of God, is you undermine authority, don't you? The first way that the world undermines our authority is by undercutting God's word. But the second way is more insidious. See, the church loves to talk about the world undercutting God's word. It's an easy sermon to preach. Believe me, I've written it before. The problem is the more difficult sermon to preach is that we destroy God's church by not doing what we have the authority to do. You see, you don't need permission to share Jesus with your neighbor. You do not need permission to teach your children the scriptures. You do not need permission to do God's will in your life, though some of you still ask for it. The church asks for permission from the state. The church asks for permission from each other. We seek permission to do God's will instead of simply let it flow. When I was a kid, my parents taught me to seek permission for everything. You know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, knock on their bedroom door and say, "Mommy, can I go to the bathroom?" And given permission to do so, I would. See, that's how you create order, isn't it? But at some point, you have to give your kid the authority to go to the bathroom on his own. Right? And folks, you have the authority to do the work of God. You don't have to ask permission from the pastor or from the council. You have the authority to share Jesus with your neighbors. You don't need my permission to do it. You know, in our world, we have constant crises of authority. And our politics shows it, and it communicates it time and time again. And so many people within the church, they worry about whether they're overstepping their authority when they're acting in the public sphere. Here's the truth. You have the authority. It's given by God, and it doesn't need to come from the state even. Our Constitution has also, in case you're concerned, granted you the authority to share your faith. You have the authority to do so. The Great Commission gives you the command to do so. The Great Commission recognizes the authority of God from creation and recognizes the authority of Jesus from his personality and from who he is and what he has done. Jesus, believe it or not, actually is all the types of authority. He's the charismatic authority. He was able to be loved by everyone. He was the authority from God because he's God the Son. And he's the authority, what I like to refer to as a relational authority, in that he loves us. And so we want to do what someone who loves us requests. He gives us a threefold command in the Great Commission: to go, to baptize, and to teach. Now, we often ignore the Great Commission to do these three things. But something else has happened over the years. And the Great Commission and the way people deal with our missionary zeal is our missionary zeal has gotten caught up in not doing these three things. Part of what we've done as missionaries when we share the gospel of Jesus to people is we've added a fourth thing to the command. That fourth thing is we've judged. We go out into the world and we tell people what we've done wrong. Okay? Instead of just going and sharing the gospel, instead of just baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, instead of just teaching, we've gone and we've told people exactly what they've done wrong with encyclopedic accuracy. And we've made sure that we've only gone to the people that don't fit the roles of those people who have done wrong. And one of the sad realities is that that's made us seem like we're judgmental. It's made us seem like we're judgmental because in reality we've been judgmental. We tell people that we're sinners without extending to them the solution for sin. If we were to teach math in the same way that we sometimes teach our kids about the Bible, we would have flashcards that said, 2 + 2 does not equal 5. Right? Because most of the time what we're teaching kids is what not to do. Think about that. It doesn't help from a teaching perspective. We'd never teach it in another way. You'd never teach them the wrong thing and then correct it. You would teach them the right thing and then establish it and continue to establish the right thing. We often preach three-point sermons on what we do wrong. Preach what God tells us to do that's right. Go into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptize in the name of the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach the commands of Jesus. We don't have to descend into the judgment. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing here. God hasn't given to us that authority. It's simply not the case. God did not say that you can judge. People ask me whether this person, that person is going to go to heaven. And what I always say is, that's beyond my pay grade. I don't know. And it's not because I don't know the scripture. And it's not because I don't know the Lord. It's because that's not my judgment. That's God's. And here's the truth, folks. God is a good and faithful and true judge. If God is willing to forgive, then I better be willing to forgive. If God is willing to save, then who am I to ignore and reject? If God has been willing to grant me grace, then how could I resist the grace that God is giving to someone else? You see, the creation story itself is filled with an affirmation that only God can judge. We miss it every time. But the creation narrative that you read from Genesis 1 continued to see that God did something, and what did God do? God saw that it was good. It pleased God. God was making judgment as to God's creation. God didn't ask for my opinion on the platypus. God did not ask for my permission to create the world and to create the shape of the continents. God did not seek our approval. God commanded and saw that it was good. You see, then God gave us authority to care for the creation, to care for the animals, to do the work that God gave us, but not to usurp God's authority or power. When Jesus gives us the command to go into the world, it's to continue the love and grace ministry that God has started in Jesus Christ. It's not to usurp the authority of God and to become the judge for the world. Now, I share this all with you because I want to make sure that you understand something. God has given to you authority. But that authority comes from God, and it is God's word. We can't make that authority. We can't make it up as we go along. We can't create a new authority and grant it to ourselves. Even though at times, that's what we like to do. Remember what I said about authority at the beginning of our little talk? When we get authority, we sometimes use it for bad purposes, don't we? One of the worst things that you can say when someone is complaining about justice in their lives, and think kids complaining to parents. One of the worst things you can say is, well, that's what they did to me. And how many of us have said that? That's the way my parents trained me. Or that's the way I learned it. Or that's the way I was punished as a kid. Oftentimes what happens is what's done to us, we then do to others. And sometimes what's been done to us, we complained about the first half of our lives until we got the authority to do it to others. And then we take it out on the next generation. I remember being a kid, feeling like the weight of the world was against me. And now I'm a middle-aged man, and I hold the authority. The question is, as a middle-aged man, will I use that authority against the next generation of kids? Or will I find the grace of Jesus and show love in a way that I would have wanted to see when I was young? I remember being judged because I had long hair. I remember at the time it was me that was the one that wanted to wear jeans. And now I have to enforce rules that I once rebelled against. Or at least that's what I think I have to do. God has commanded us to care for, to love, to extend grace. God has told us what is true. God has shared with us what we are supposed to do. And God has given us authority to go and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples, in all places. God has given us authority to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God has told us to teach them all that Jesus has commanded. Are we doing it? Or are we finding ways to deny what God has commanded, so that we can get something out of our system from when we were young. God is calling us to do God's will, not to exercise our own. When we look around the world, that's the one thing that we ask of our leaders, isn't it? We ask that they would simply do the will, and in America we say the will of the people, because the people have the authority, right? And so when our leaders don't do the will of the people, we get offended. Yet, in the church, we recognize that the will of the people isn't the job of the church, is it? The will of the Lord is the task of the church. Will we, and here's the thing that you've got to hear. You're the leader. You have the authority. You see, it's not my authority. Jesus didn't give it to Dan. Jesus didn't say only pastors have this authority. Okay? He gave it to the church. You have the authority to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. You have the authority, and this is weird because we don't like to say it, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the old school Baptist church, you would go before the deacons, not the pastor. And the deacons would determine. And you have the authority to teach the people of God the commands of God through Scripture. It's the Baptist way because it's the Bible's way, because it's the Lord's way. You have the authority to act and to do the will of God. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want you to ask God to give you the openness to follow after God's will. Pray with me, Lord God, we know that you have granted to us, that you have commanded us to take on this authority of the church, and we have been reluctant to do your will. We've wanted someone else to rise up and do it, yet the church is commanded to go, to baptize, and to teach. Help us to be strong in your spirit so that we might know your will. Help us to know that it is me that you are calling, Lord, and to say yes to you. And help us to stay free from judgment so that we might love those that we reach out to. So that we might put them into your hands instead of trying to shape them into our image. Lord God, you have made us after your image. Help us to conform only to the image that you would create and not to our own perspectives. Help us to be the image of God, showing love and grace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we ask it all. Amen.